Welcome to JBJS OrthoCore. Listen as members of the ortho community, residents, surgeons, educators, staff, and patients share their stories about the experiences and people most important in their lives and the lessons they learned along the way. OrthoCore is an audio archive inspired by StoryCore and independently organized by the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery.
Hi, this is Mark Swinkowski here in Minneapolis, and I'm here with my colleague, my partner, Dr. Joel Boyd, who is the head team physician for the Minnesota Wild and former team physician for the Minnesota Vikings, a nationally and internationally known sports surgeon. And Dr. Boyd did his fellowship with an icon in the field of sports medicine. Dr. Pete Fowler, who sadly recently passed away, and I thought it would be a good opportunity to ask Dr. Boyd a little bit about his memories of Dr. Fowler. So I've got a couple of questions that I'm going to ask him, and then he's going to, I'm sure, flesh out some of the memories in between, because there's already smiles occurring on the face. Dr. Fowler, a most memorable character. So, Dr. Boyd, let me start out with, what was it that attracted you to Dr. Fowler's fellowship?
So, like most fourth years, I was touring a couple of places in the United States for fellowship. I had gone out to LA and Carlin and Job, and thought that that might be a landing spot. We had a first year foot and ankle, Dr. Ian Alexander, surgeon at the Cleveland Clinic.
You were a resident at Cleveland Clinic.
I was a resident at the Cleveland Clinic at the time. I was chief, fourth year on his service. And he introduced me to the idea. He said, you know, you should think about doing your fellowship with Dr. Fowler in London, Ontario, because he was from Canada. And I said, okay. I said, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, then I brought it up to my mentor at the Cleveland Clinic, John Birdfell. And John was also very good friends with Pete. And at the time, that was a time when, you know, we were debating quite a bit about bone, tendon, bone autografts for ACL reconstructions versus hamstring autografts. And it's for those who aren't of the vintage that I am, and those who are, remember what kind of battles took place at the podiums over hamstrings versus BTBs. Ultimately, they ended up being close to the same. But Pete was a hamstring user, and Birdfell was a BTB user.
Oh my.
And so I was very conflicted heading into my fellowship. But Pete, he was a very good guardian of the Canadian way, and spoke his mind whenever it came up.
So you went up for an interview?
I did.
What was that like?
Well, the interview itself was another interesting day. Mm. So I went to see Pete, and obviously he and Birdfeld had talked a bit. So I sat in his office, and he said, I saw that you had gone to Bucknell University, which I didn't even know he knew where that was. And I said, yes, I did. And he says, you played football there. I said, yes. He goes, well, I think I know just about everything about you. Let's go talk to the football coach. So we trekked over to the athletic facilities, and the coach of the Western Mustangs was there, and we started talking, and he said to me, he says, oh, so Pete tells me you're a running back at Bucknell University. I said, yes, I was. He says, oh, he says, what offense did you run? I said, well, we ran our Delaware wing T. He said, we run a version of that here, but we have one extra guy in Canadian football. And I said, oh. He said, well, he started with a couple of plays. He drew out some circles and X's, and he says, okay, so how would you run this play? And so I told him how we'd run the play. And then he said, oh, how'd you run this play? Then the next thing I know, he breaks out film, and we're watching film, and Pete leaves. He doesn't even stay. He just leaves. And so at the end of the day, he says to me, well, you know, I'd like to we need a running backs coach this year. He goes, how'd you like to be our running backs coach? I said, well, here to do my fellowship in sports. And he goes, oh, don't worry about Pete. I'll take care of him. So I spent the first three or four months of my fellowship coaching running backs at the University of Western Ontario, which wasn't all bad. We ended up winning the National Championship of Canada in the Vanier Cup, which was great. Everything was good until Bergfeld called one day, and he was looking for me. And he says, I'd like to speak to Dr. Boyd. And Dr. Fowler's secretary said, there's no Dr. Boyd here. And he said, no, there's a Dr. Boyd there. He's doing his fellowship. She said, no, pretty sure there's no Dr. Boyd here. And he said, well, you know, you'd recognize him, you know, he's a black guy. And she goes, oh, you mean Coach Boyd. And I thought Bergie just was going to, she said he was going to come through the phone at that point. You have Pete Fowler call me. So yes, that was my recruiting trip to London, Ontario.
Well, ultimately, you successfully completed the fellowship.
I did successfully complete the fellowship. Being with Pete, I mean, I think most people would say that, you know, he's a no-nonsense guy, but a very innovative, thoughtful surgeon and clinician. If things made sense to him, he would certainly fight for it. And he did things the old way, osteotomies with osteotomes, no saws.
Which you still do today. I just witnessed you doing that.
Yes. I still do osteotomies with osteotomes.
Yeah, so. Probably better for bone healing anyway. But, so what was it like working with him on a day-to-day basis?
So it was... Pete was great. He was a very much down-to-earth person. Now, having said that, Pete intertwined a lot of that with some very colorful language, and he's pretty well known for that. As a matter of fact, when my fellowship partner and I left, we actually started the Fowler Fellows, and we printed out T-shirts that said, "No one's Fowler than Pete." So, and that was because Pete would somehow manage to use the F word almost consistently, and it rolled off his tongue so easily that patients like didn't even think about it. It just kind of came out. And I'll tell another anecdote. There's a woman whose husband was a physician, and their daughter had an ACL reconstruction done elsewhere, and they had a little complication. It got stiff. So they came to see Pete about her knee stiffness. And Pete was in the athletic training area, and he loved being there. Mm-hmm. He hated actually going to the clinic. He'd rather be over in the athletic facility. And so he was late, without question. And he initially sent me to go see the patient to get started, and the nurses wouldn't even let me go in the room because this physician's wife was irate that he was late. And so eventually Pete comes into clinic and says, what's happening? And the nurses run up and say, you have to go see her right now. Mm-hmm. She's been here for like an hour, and she's upset that you're late, and the whole bit. Mm-hmm. So Pete just says, oh, okay, fine. He goes, takes the chart, and he goes in the room. He leaves the door open, and he says to her, he says, I'm Pete Fowler. And at that moment, she just went off. She said, Dr. Fowler, I've been waiting for you for an hour. He said, where have you been? And she's going on and on and on and on and on and on. And so finally, she takes a breath, and Pete takes the chart, and he slams it on the bed, and he says to her, well, what do you think I've been doing? He goes, I wasn't shooting fucking pool. So, and she goes, well, no. And he goes, well, all right then, what's wrong with her? And then it's on to the next thing. It's amazing. It's like, okay, we can't do that in the States. I don't think that's going to happen. But it was just that easy for him to just interject some of those colorful language, but he was very smooth that way.
Yeah, in some regards, it was part of his endearing. It endeared him to patients and colleagues, and he was an extraordinary individual. So, what would you say are his contributions to the field of sports medicine?
Oh man, there are lots. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, certainly around the knee, and certainly. continuing the legacy of J.C. Kennedy, who was his mentor for he and Rich Hawkins both, Pete Fowler and Rich Hawkins were J.C. Kennedy's first fellows. And Pete, who stayed in London, most people know that Rich went to Colorado or the Stedman Hawkins Clinic in Vail. And Pete would, you know, he did a lot of his fellows and his research, people did a lot of research, started with the LAD, which was a ligament augmentation device, and ultimately did a lot of work on that and realized that, okay, it wasn't the panacea of what we wanted it to be, but continued to do hamstring reconstructions and was very successful at it. Osteotomies, big osteotomy guy, and multiple plane osteotomies. And when I trained with him, no one was really talking about triple varus knee except for in Cincinnati.
Frank Noyce.
Yeah, Frank was doing it. But Pete had already had an osteotomy to fix it and how you fix it. So we were doing those kinds of osteotomies that I don't think were done hardly anywhere. So he had a very... very everyday approach to athletes. The athletes all loved him. And we'd see players from the NHL who were Canadian that would, fly miles, thousands of miles to see him. And he took the time and enjoyed being around them. So I would say that he was extremely practical in that way. So his contribution, was about patient care. It was also in the area of knee ligament surgery as well as osteotomies, that kind of thing. He wasn't much about total joints. He called them fake joints. he didn't want to have a fake joint. And he never did. He had an osteotomy, but he refused to get a fake joint. So he would call them fake joints. And so people knew that was not his thing.
yeah, wonderful. Wonderful man, and I think his legacy is carried out through his former fellows, people like you. And there were probably several other people who were in academic medicine that did his fellowship.
Oh yeah, there were lots. Ned Amendola. He did his fellowship, but he was a resident there and came back to be on staff there. Mike Stewart down at Mayo. Yeah. There's a plethora of docs that had a chance to go through. Al Goodgood is kind of overseeing the Fowler Clinic at this point and in charge, and he does a great job. Yeah. A lot of things he does reminds me of Pete, but he's doing a good job maintaining his legacy.
Yeah, that's great. I got one last question for you, Dr. Boyd. How do you think Pete would want to be remembered?
I think Pete would want to be, there's probably a couple ways. One would be he was a good fucking surgeon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a family guy He loved athletics and sports, I think University of Western Ontario football was just his baby. It was great the year that I was there and we were able to win the national championship. I think that meant a lot to him, and he enjoyed that. So, I think those would be three things that how he would like to be remembered.
Good surgeon, family man, and a good medical director for a very successful athletic program.
Right, right.
Well, that's great. Well, Dr. Boyd, thank you very much for sharing these recollections, and it's my hope that many will listen to these through the years, and perhaps we can get others who knew Pete well to record their oral histories, so they'll be available for people who want to know about him down the road. So. Thanks very much. I know you got a busy surgery schedule, and thanks for letting me chat with you in between cases.
Yeah, no, not a problem. It was enjoyable. Thank you, Mark.
Okay.